Well, for today's feature, we have a chance to catch up with David Pritchard of Kerber, Eck, and Breckel, better known as KEB. David, welcome back to WSMI.
Thanks, Katie. Good to be here.
Nice to have a chance to catch up with you, and we try to talk annually for Farmers Appreciation Month. So a little bit of background about yourself. We've talked before, but just remind us who you are and what KEB does.
Yeah, thanks. We're a collection of CPA and consulting offices. We range from Milwaukee, Wisconsin to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, believe it or not. About $28 million of revenue, about 250 people. We recently announced the acquisition of a practice in O'Fallon that will increase the size of our Belleville office. So we're seeing a little growth in the Metro East area, and we like that. And we have a team in Litchfield, some of whom are known as the Ag Group at KEB, and they represent a group of CPAs and consultants who are aimed at serving the needs of ag producers specifically. We work with small, medium, and large farms locally as well as throughout the Midwest. We serve across the Midwestern United States as far north as Minnesota and as far south as northern Texas.
Pretty exciting to hear that you guys have expanded, especially when I'm talking with farmers and the climate of today's ag industry. I know you guys work with farmers a lot, as you said, Ag Group KEB. So that's exciting that you've got to be looking forward to those changes.
Yeah. There's a number of things that are happening in the farming economy that will create demand for our services, not the least of which is times are difficult. Financing is sometimes tough, and farms as a whole are growing. So as those farms grow and mature, they'll run into needs that they didn't have when they were younger.
So KEB, you just told us a little bit about the services you offer and what it is that you guys do. So what's different about KEB? Is anything different than other firms that people could work with?
Yeah, I think to some extent there is. We do provide a core set of tax accounting and auditing services and similar core services. But some years back, we decided that local farm operations had more needs for business and tax planning than just tax preparation and compliance. And so over the last years, we've tried to focus our efforts on the business issues that farm owners run into as they plan their tax situations, their retirements, their transfers of the farm, and generational transfer of wealth. We do provide tax preparation services, but we like to do it in the context of the entire family business and wealth management situation. So our people are trained to look a little bigger than just the detail of the annual results and try to look at trends and what is up ahead as they sit down with their clients and try to plan situations. Myself, I'm a senior engagement partner, and my work is concentrated in advisory services for owners who are dealing with the people side and the organizational issues of having entities and changes in the operation and some of those special family and business issues, if you know what I mean, that we encounter as we're trying to figure out where the assets are going to go and where the farm's going to go and how it's going to be managed going forward.
I think what you said about looking ahead and planning for the future, that's important. No matter if you're in agriculture or whatever business you're in, you know, you can't just think right now. You've got to plan ahead, and it sounds like you have a lot of those conversations.
Yeah, we try to. There's a static picture that accountants always look at, and that's kind of a rearview mirror picture in many cases. And so what we try to do is say, hey, look, what does this picture tell us about where we're going? Because we know where we've been, and so let's not stop with what has just happened. Let's see if we can take numbers and conversations and help project where the farm's heading, what's up ahead, and what we need to be planning for.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about, and you thought this would be a good topic for conversation, it's going to directly impact farmers and farming operations, and that's the new tax law that was passed. Give us an update, maybe some of the main things that have changed, or what do farmers need to know about it?
Well, first of all, yeah, we got the new tax law that I think we talked about a little bit when we were sitting here last year, Katie, in that we were promised by the new administration that they were going to pass a tax act, and they did that. It's all good, really, from an agricultural look. Operators don't have a lot to be afraid of, and there's a lot of good news in the law. Big news is we got taxpayer relief from a reduction in the latest administration's tax rates, and we got a little bit of simplification in the law for personal individual taxpayers. Tax rates for businesses specifically got some help. C corporation tax rates, though we lost the 15% tax bracket on the first $50,000, we did get a flat 21% tax rate on C corporation filing. And alongside of that, to give business owners that aren't organized in C corporation structures the benefit of some lower rates, they came up with this new qualified business income deduction. That deduction basically gives us a 20% tax break on income that we receive from entities that are sort of what we call flow-through tax entities. They actually push taxable income through to the individual to pay the tax at the personal level. Those entities that push through business income will actually end up creating a tax deduction for the individual business owners. Since most all farm income, including farm rental income, looks like it's going to qualify for this tax break, it's all good news for farm operators, and we're going to enjoy the benefit. Many farms are organized in LLC or S corporation or just a personal Schedule F tax filing, and those farms are going to enjoy the benefit of the business income rate reduction. So it's all pretty good news. We've got some changes to depreciation computations, but they really amount to more liberalization of the depreciation rules. So, you know, if you're in a position where you're rolling and trading farm equipment periodically during the year, you're going to really be in a position where you can pretty much format your annual depreciation deduction the way you want it, and your tax planners can make your taxable income come to the levels that you want it to be on a whole lot more easy basis than maybe they could before some of these liberalizations started, which really started a few years ago.
So that's good news. As you said, it's pretty much all good for ag, and always refreshing to hear that. You know, some of the terms that are included in tax law and accounting, not words that we hear every day, but I assume if someone misunderstood maybe some of the changes, they may not have to understand everything 100%, because that's a conversation they can have with maybe the ag group guys, and they can help explain those things for their operation.
Yeah, and there are some complexities in the law, and there's a little confusion that's taken place in that our congressman had a little bit of difficulty getting things done, and they kind of marked up some bills as it was making it through its last drafts, and there are some things that need to be changed to straighten out some things. But generally speaking, I think farm operators can have those discussions and, be in a position where they can feel good about what took place. There's one complexity that probably ought to point out, and that qualified business income deduction is going to be pretty available to people that report taxable income under $315,000. If you are an individual with a higher than $315,000 taxable income threshold, and you normally will report that or more, you probably ought to be getting into your tax people and asking some questions about how those complexities are going to work.
All right, sounds good. And as I already said, good news. So it's nice to hear that, so we don't have to be too worried about those changes. We mentioned already looking ahead into the future, planning, not just looking at what's happening right now. You guys do offer estate planning services. You can help have those conversations.
Yeah. We try to work with local counsel in estate planning projects. I think there's something that took place which could be good and could be bad in terms of the new law. We've got now an expanded what we'll call an exemption from federal estate taxes that has been raised from $5 million to $11 million, and you know, we can all applaud that and say, yay, we're going to see very diminished exposure to estate taxes for the family farm. But I think one of the things that we fear is that we'll see clients and farm owners kind of go to sleep relative to planning their estates. It's probably not the right thing to do. You know, with farm wealth in any size farm now climbing $3, $5, $7, $9 million, there's a lot of family wealth there that's to be managed. And estate planning should not just be minimizing of the estate tax liability, but it should include planning for the transfer of the assets and the management of the business into the next generation, as well as you know, how management succession is going to take place itself. So for that reason, and for the reason that at least in our great state of Illinois here, we still have a Illinois exemption of only $4 million, so we can be exposed to Illinois inheritance taxes, though we're not exposed to federal estate taxes, and that's something that people should keep in mind. We don't have $11 million of exemption, or $22 million in the case of a married couple in the state of Illinois. We are looking at joint wealth of $4 million ultimately causing an Illinois inheritance tax problem, and that's something that people need to pay attention to.
Absolutely. All of those laws and dollar amounts, that's all important when you're planning to pass on the operation. And in general, are farmers doing this? Are they having the conversations they need to be having, or are they lacking on that side and there could be some room for improvements?
Yeah, actually, I think that our tax laws have been the greatest necessity for planning, and with some liberalization and some lower tax rates, I'm somewhat worried that we're not going to make the progress we need to make. I'm going to tell you that generally, farm owners aren't making the plans they need to be making, especially for management succession. And it would be my gut feel that these conversations are shied away from because they involve what's going to happen when I die, what's going to happen when I quit. Neither one of those things are a lot of fun to talk about.
No.
And neither one of those things are things that are easy to talk about, especially when they're non-operating heirs and operating heirs involved in the family. So I think sometimes those things are a little more, are believed to be a little more, I should say, uncomfortable than they really are. I think if families will sit down and if mom and dad will say, hey, kids, here's what we really want and here's why we want it, I think it eliminates a lot of the problems. And some of the conversations we thought were going to be uncomfortable all of a sudden aren't that hard. And believe it or not, I've helped with some of those conversations and found out that we had people, clients who were a little bit afraid of a conversation that they really never needed to be afraid of, that the kids understood and the kids were in agreement with much of the planning that they thought. And so some of those conversations, when they had it, they said, boy, why did we wait so long?
I think that's another thing that's refreshing to hear and good news, because I'm sure someone's listening that might be in the uncomfortable position right now that they know they need to do something, but they haven't done it yet. But I guess it's just bite the bullet and do it, right?
Yeah, a little bit funny to use that term. I'd say it's pretty much comparable to a root canal sometimes. You know, you fear it, and then it ultimately takes place. You think, well, they numbed me up and it happened and it wasn't that bad after all.
And you feel better when it's done.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Dave, thanks so much for your time. Always great information and great to catch up with you. And I always like to ask, do you have anything else on your mind that you'd like to say with it being Farmers Appreciation Month?
Yeah, the reason we do like to participate in this and get together once a year, chat with you and put a little notice out on the radio that we're appreciative, is that we really feel like, especially Montgomery County, our local economy runs on the farm economy. And we don't know that our farmers get quite the recognition that they deserve for the dollars that they generate. So I'm just here to say on behalf of KEB, we appreciate all of you, whether you're clients of ours or not. And we'd love to chat with you sometime when you've got some needs. Feel free to call us at the office at 324-6611 and ask for myself or anybody who works in the ag group.
Sounds great. David Pritchard, KEB. David, thanks for stopping by and coming in to chat with us.
Good to do so. Thanks, Kay.